The Queen Mary was the largest ship that had ever been built. And for four decades, it crossed the Atlantic Ocean. Launched in 1936, it survived a world war. And finally, in the 70s, it was retired, anchored as a floating hotel off of Long Beach, California. But as they converted the Queen Mary into this hotel, they had these three very large smokestacks that were taken off of the ship, scraped down, and they were going to repaint them. But on the dock, all three of them crumbled. Nothing was left of the 3/4-inch steel plate from which the stacks had been formed. All that remained were 30 coats of paint that had been applied over the years. The steel had rusted away completely. Yesterday and today, we hear some of Jesus's most challenging and harshest words. And they are words that he directs at hypocrites. That's because hypocrites are like those smokestacks. They have no substance, only an exterior veneer. In our gospel today, Jesus concludes that second parable with these stinging words. He will be cut off and be put with the hypocrites. So why is hypocrisy so problematic? Let's think of the word's original meaning. It means one who plays a part, one who pretends. Something that was made very clear in yesterday's gospel when Jesus said of the Pharisees, "So you also outwardly appear to be righteous men, but you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Hypocrisy is the hiding of interior wickedness under a veneer of virtue. And Jesus seems to denounce hypocrisy as the greatest of all sins that is particularly experienced by those who have spiritual leadership. It is the vice of those who do their good deeds to be seen by men, but not to give glory to God. Moral theologians say that hypocrisy is the fruit and outworking of pride. It is a sin against truthfulness. It is a lie expressed by external actions, but interiorly the intent is to deceive others. This form of hypocrisy is very much at play in that second parable that we heard today. We hear, first of all, of a faithful and wise slave who has been entrusted with his master's household, and he is carefully and diligently serving his fellow slaves. And here's the thing that Jesus commends the wise slave for. He treats his fellows equitably, and so is deserving of the beatitude, "Blessed is that slave whom his master finds at work when he arrives." What is it about this first slave that makes him a person of integrity? He truly wills the good of the other. Whereas the wicked slave has said to himself, "My master is delayed." And then rather than serving his fellow slaves, he demands that they serve him. We're told by Jesus that he begins to beat them. And he's living his life in such a way that he is devoid of any realization that there will be a reckoning that will come when he least expects it. Just like the people who took those stacks off of the Queen Mary, they didn't expect them to just turn to dust. So here's the problem with hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the use of religious authority in a way that demands others serve the one who has been entrusted with that authority. And as Roman Catholics, we know how damaging this kind of hypocrisy is when it affects the church at its highest levels. Nothing shows this more than the sex abuse scandal. But there are other ways in which priests and even bishops can appear so religious on the outside, and yet on the inside, we have to take to heart what Jesus says. The problem with hypocrisy in leadership is it is a blight on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a blight on his church, and it turns the hearts of so many away from being able to trust in God. But let's move from the bad news to the good news, which is this. At the heart of authentic Christian leadership is the way to use authority in the service of others. When priests or people who are educators, parents, lay leaders within the congregation keep before them this admonition of Jesus, "Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming," we will take to heart what Moses prayed in today's psalm. "So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart." To be entrusted with spiritual leadership is one of the greatest responsibilities that a human being can be given. And St. James in his epistle in the third chapter says, "Not many of you should become teachers because you will be judged with a stricter judgment." And that is because to lead others in the things of the Spirit is to lead them prayerfully closer to God. And as I mentioned in my homily yesterday, we've been privileged this week to hear words from St. Paul's first letter, the letter he wrote to the church at Thessalonica around the year 51 AD. And listen now to the heart of a true pastor, a true priest, an apostle, who in writing to the Thessalonians has these beautiful words. "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you." That's it. And I've said this many times before. Thomas Aquinas says that to love is to will the good of the other as other, not because of what we can get out of it. And isn't that hard to do? To truly will the good of the other as other. But here Paul says, this is his prayer, that this kind of love will abound amongst the Thessalonians. And then listen to what he says next. "And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints." In other words, to be strengthened in holiness is to be made strong from the inside out. It's not to be a person of some sort of spiritual veneer who is insubstantial on the inside, but it's to be a person of such substance that hearts growing in holiness will be blameless at the coming of the Lord. In other words, the Lord will not say to us, "You hypocrite," but he will say to us, "Oh, you good and faithful servant, you have been about the work that I have given you to do." So let me conclude with this thought. Growth in holiness is directly proportional to how we grow in genuine love. Growth in holiness is directly proportional to how we grow in genuine love for one another and how we live our present life in light of Jesus' future coming. That's why hypocrisy in the church is such a cancer. But true holiness in the church is such an inspiration. As we learn the way of love that will mark our character when we one day get to our heavenly country. Those who take this to heart will not be smokestacks that are veneer. They have a veneer righteousness, but no substance. Rather, we will want to be a people who, like that wise slave, will be at work doing what God calls us to do when the Master comes.